We start the new year with the book of Colossians. I have made sort of a practice that as I read through, I keep a straight edge in my Bible and I keep a pen in my hand. And those scriptures that sort of speak to me, scriptures that I feel just sort of have a special emphasis or a special message, I have a tendency to just underline them. I have found that as I have gone through Colossians 1, I've underlined practically the whole chapter. I mean, this is rich. Colossians chapter 1 is Paul deals with the preeminence of Christ. What a great time it is, if you haven't yet started to read through the whole Bible, what a great time this is to start with the book of Colossians. The beginning of a new year, just make a resolution, I'm going to read through the entire Bible. And join with us as we go through the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, and back again. And so, tonight we'll be studying Colossians chapter 1, and we encourage you to read it over. And I would say, take a pen and a straight edge, and underline those scriptures that minister to you as you read this first chapter, and you'll discover just how rich it actually is. Now, Paul here offers a prayer for those in the church at Colossae. And it's a marvelous prayer. It's a great prayer for a new year, the beginning of a year. Paul said that ever since he heard of their faith in Jesus Christ and their love that they had in the Spirit, that since he heard of it, he did not cease to pray for them, verse 9, and to desire that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, that they might be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Paul's prayer for the church. First of all, that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will. God has a plan and a purpose for each of our lives. There is a reason for your existence. God has a plan for you. And the most important thing for each of us is to come to know God's plan for our lives and then seek to fulfill that plan. What does God have in mind for you? The Bible tells us that we were created for his good pleasure. That is, we were created that we might please him. That as God looks at us, he'll say, "Oh, I'm so pleased with them." Jesus, of course, is our example. Peter said that he left us an example that we should follow in his steps. And Jesus said, "I do always those things that please the Father." God testified of that when Jesus was being baptized. The voice of God spoke from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." The primary purpose of our lives is to bring pleasure to God. Everything that you've ever done to please yourself, all of the things that you've accomplished for your own self, will one day be as wood, hay, and stubble, worthless. They'll be destroyed. The Bible tells us that one day all of our works will be tested with fire, and that much of the work that a man has done will be burned. That which remains will be rewarded for. And though our works may be destroyed in the fire, we will be saved, but very empty, because so many people live their lives without any thought as far as God's will is concerned. Paul prays that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will. You have only one life. It will soon be passed. And only what you do for Jesus Christ is going to last. Now, you cannot accomplish the will of God unless you know what the will of God is for you. Hence, Paul's prayer that they will be filled with the knowledge of his will. Writing to the Ephesians, Paul said, "Don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of God is." And this should be the primary pursuit of each of our lives, to know and to understand what is the will of God for us. Do you know what God's will is for you? And are you seeking to accomplish that will? That you might know the will of God, he said, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul prayed for the Ephesians that they might be filled with the spirit of wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of God. Now for the Colossians, he is praying for the spirit of wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of the will of God for their lives. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said that one day we are all of us going to receive rewards for our labor for the Lord. And that Jesus Christ is the foundation upon which each of us should build our lives. But some people, in building their lives, though Jesus may be the foundation, they build with wood, hay, and stubble. Others build with gold and silver and precious gems. But the day will come when the building will be tested with fire. And that which is built with wood, hay, and stubble will be burned. Sort of like the big bad wolf and the three little pigs. You know, they built their house out of straw and out of sticks and were blown away. But the one that built with the bricks, the house endured the wolf's attempts to destroy it. Well, so our lives. Some people build with sticks and hay and wood, hay and stubble, he said. And how important that we build with things that will be lasting, that we spend our lives doing things that will count for eternity. How tragic when a person just lives for the present and takes no thought of the eternal things. And so may you be filled with the knowledge and understanding of God's will, and then he prayed that you might walk worthy of the Lord. Now that's a big order, isn't it? How could we ever walk worthy of the Lord? Surely not in our own strength or ability. It's only as we walk in the strength and in the power of the Spirit of God that we could ever hope to walk worthy of the Lord. You see, you have been adopted by God into his family. And being adopted by God into his family, there's a certain code by which we should now live as children of God. If you were born into royalty, say into the royal family in England, Because you've been born into royalty, there are certain things that are expected of you. There are certain things that you don't do because you're of the royalty. There are certain things of protocol that you must do because you're of royalty. And you're trained how to walk because you're of the royal family. Well, you've become adopted by God in His royal family. There are certain things that as a child of God, you should not do. And on the other hand, there are things that as a child of God, I'm expected to do. I am expected to walk worthy of what I am. A child, a son of God, I need to walk worthy of that glorious calling. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, said you shouldn't walk as the people in the world because they walk in the emptiness of their minds. They really don't think things through. He said their understanding is darkened. They are alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance. And they are actually past feeling, and so they've given themselves over to lasciviousness. And their lives are motivated by greed. The things they do are motivated by greed. Those are things that you should not do as a child of God. That is not walking worthy of your position and station in life. To walk worthy is to walk in love. To walk worthy is to walk in purity. It's to walk in peace. It's to walk in faith. Paul's next petition for them was that they might be fruitful in every good work. The good works from our lives are actually the fruit of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the vine and you're the branches. And every branch in me that beareth fruit." As I abide in Christ, His life flows in me. And as His life flows into me, that life of Christ within me will bring forth fruit. Even as a branch, the life of the vine flows into the branch, and as it flows in, the branch begins to produce fruit. So as the life of Christ flows into me, it produces fruit in my life. And Paul is praying that they might be fruitful in every good work. Jesus said, "Our Father is glorified when we bring forth much fruit." And then Paul declared that the fruit of the Spirit is love. Jesus said, "By their fruit ye shall know them." That every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, nor can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And he declared, every tree that doesn't bring forth good fruit will be cut down and cast into the fire. By their fruit, ye shall know them. As you look at your life, what is the fruit of your life? What kind of fruit is your life producing? The fruit of the Spirit is love, which is manifested in your joy, in your long-suffering, your gentleness, your goodness, your patience, your meekness, your kindness, your moderation. Paul's next request was that you might be increased in your knowledge of God. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your knowledge and understanding of God? You know, we've dedicated our lives to bringing people into a knowledge of God, and we accomplish that purpose by the teaching of the Word of God. That's why we go straight through the chapters, verse by verse, to bring to you the whole counsel of God so that you can come into a knowledge of God. Because you see, the Bible is God's revelation of himself. All that you need to ever know about God has been revealed to us in the Bible. God has given to us all that pertains to life and to godliness through the knowledge of his word. And that is our purpose, is to bring you into a greater knowledge and understanding of God. In verse 6, he speaks of knowing the grace of God in truth. How can we increase our knowledge of God? Zophar, the friend of Job, said, "Can you by searching find out God? Can you find out the Almighty unto perfection?" There are many people who profess to know God that really don't have the slightest clue of what God is really all about. There are many people who have actually created their own gods. Even as in the pagan societies, they carve out their images of their gods and they worship them. So many people, though they haven't carved an image, yet they have their own creation. They've created their gods. And their gods basically are a magnification of themselves, because the basic thing behind it is, if I were God, this is how I would do it. This is how I would live. This is how I would respond. This is how I would react. If I were running the show, I'd run it a little differently. And so we sort of declare, you know, that we don't quite agree with God, that we create our own gods. The Bible speaks about men who have created their own gods, that they have created gods that are insensate. They are less than themselves. You may carve eyes on your little idol, but the eyes can't see. Why do you carve eyes? Because you have eyes. You may carve ears on your little god, but they can't hear. Why do you carve ears? Because you have ears. But you see, when you make your own god, you actually make it less than yourself. From what sources have you gained your knowledge of God? Is it what others have told you about God? Or have you read God's revelation of himself for yourself? Do you read the Bible with the purpose of understanding and knowing God? And then, have you experienced the truth of God in your life? You know, Paul said that I may know him, and he uses the word that speaks of knowledge by experience. And what Paul is actually crying for is an experience with God, that I might know him by personal experience. Now, the heavens declare the glory of God. The earth shows his handiwork. And day unto day they speak unto man. And you can know God through nature. But that isn't a full understanding of God. It takes the revelation of the scriptures. More than just what you can learn from nature. You need the scriptures to teach you the truth about God. Paul then prayed for them that they might be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. If ever there was a time when men needed the strength of the Lord to stand against the evil tide of the world, it's today. The Bible speaks about how horrible it is when men begin to call good evil and they call evil good. A total perversity, and your society is topsy-turvy when that takes place. Chaos. The powers of darkness are working overtime to destroy all that is good and decent There is a group today that are advocating and trying to get legislation against saying God bless you to a person who sneezes. They say you are violating their constitutional rights of freedom of religion if you say God bless you. And that if you invite someone to your house for dinner, if you pray for the meal, you are violating the constitutional rights of your guest. I cannot understand how people can become so twisted in their thinking processes that they begin to so misinterpret the Constitution that deals with the subject of freedom of religion. Now, you hand that to any sixth grade child and ask him to read what the Constitution is guaranteeing, the rights of freedom of religion, and the child will tell you that it is to give the person the freedom to worship God as they see fit. No one should dictate to me how I should worship God. I should have the freedom to worship God as I deem fit. But to carry that over and say that it is freedom from the worship of God is totally wrong. That was never the intention of the writers of the Constitution, that a man should have freedom from the worship of God. It was only the freedom of the worship of God. That is, it was prohibiting establishing a state church like had happened throughout Europe. And people were required to support that state church. And that's what was intended by the Constitution, that we wouldn't follow the error of Europe and create state churches and mandate how a person was to worship God. We should have the freedom to have the different denominations and all in our worship of God, and the freedom of choosing which church I might want to go to. They have interpreted the freedom of speech right to say that you are free to say every filthy, dirty, blasphemous thing you desire any place you want to speak it. In the classroom, in the schools, or whatever, any kind of language goes because you have the freedom of speech. They've even taken it further than that. They say that the freedom of speech guarantees you the right to do any kind of blasphemous thing you desire. There was an artist who was supported by your tax dollars because he got his support from the National Arts Endowment Fund, who drew this picture of Christ in a jar of urine under the guise of freedom of speech. And he had the right to receive the money from the government to create this kind of art. It's an expression and the freedom of speech. Oh, God help us. That was never intended. But it's interesting that these people who have carried that to such a liberal extreme are trying to keep people from speaking out on decency, because they're trying now to enact laws that would prohibit us from saying that homosexuality is a sin. And there is a fireman up in Minnesota who recently was dismissed from the fire department because he declared that homosexuality was a sin. And he was ordered to take certain classes to broaden his understanding. And so it's ridiculous what's happening. You know, but it's sort of like the old frog in boiling water story. They say that if you put a frog in boiling water, he'll jump out immediately. But if you'll put them in a pan of cool water, put it on the stove, and just turn on the heat as it just warms up slowly, the frog will just stay there until he's cooked. Because it comes on sort of gradually, little by little, and suddenly, he doesn't realize it, but it's over. It's sort of like we've been inoculated by evil, and we've built up a tolerance to it. So then they give you a little more. You build up a tolerance to that, then more, until we look at the morass that the world is in today, and we wonder, how in the world did we ever get here? Paul is praying for them that they might be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. The strength that we might stand against the evil tide that is engulfing our world today. We need the power of God to do that. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, said, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." How wonderful it is that God has made his power available to us. Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be witnesses of me." Strengthen with all might. What is all might? That's God's might. He's Almighty God. Strengthen with all might according to his glorious power. And as we are, there are three characteristics that will begin to mark our lives: patience, long-suffering, and joyfulness. God will give me the power to endure, the patience, but not to just endure grinding it out, you know. Sometimes, "Well, God help, pray, God help me to just endure to the end, brother," you know, and just sort of grind it out. But it's with joyfulness. The joy of the Lord, our strength. And these are the characteristics that will mark my life. So, for this new year, may you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. May you walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. May you be fruitful in every good work and increasing in your knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, that you might have all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. You know, if you have a friend and you want to do something good for them, turn to Colossians 1:9 and just pray these things for them. If you want to do something good for me, just turn to Colossians 1:9 and pray these things for me. I desire these things in my life. Tell you what, make you a deal. I'll pray these things for you also. Even as Paul prayed for the church in Colossae, that these things would become a reality in their lives, so I'll pray for you that God will make these things real in your life. You will come to a better, richer understanding of God's will and of God himself, that you might be fruitful in every work, that you might be strengthened by his Spirit, that we might walk in a way that is worthy and pleasing to him in 1998. Father, we thank you that we can pray one for another. And Lord, we do pray that these things might become a reality in us in this year. May this be the most glorious year that we've ever experienced as far as our knowledge of your will is concerned. And in our understanding of you, Lord, teach us your ways. Lead us in your truth. And Lord, may our lives be a reflection of Jesus. May we bring forth fruit, Lord, that will glorify you. Help us, Lord. We need your strength and your power to be what you want us to be. fill us with your Spirit, that we might walk in the Spirit and be led by the Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. And may the Lord be with you and watch over and keep you in his love. May you be filled with his Spirit, and may you truly walk worthy of the calling of what we are in Christ Jesus. May this be a blessed week as you live for him.